It's good to see so many people in here, and it's great to be able to just take a moment to share with you. As Ryan said, I'm in a transitional lead role. If this is your first time here to Good Life, I'm glad you could be here on this Sunday. It's a great Sunday to be here, just to get a sense and feel of what we're about and where we're going moving forward. And thanks to, it was great seeing that video, wasn't it? Just of the things that happen in this place. Yeah, you can give it a round of applause, that's okay. But I want to just take a moment to just do a really, really brief recap on some of the things we have been talking about over these last little while. And you'll remember back in, November, when we all gathered together, that we met at Kiwana. And we started to share a few different things. And I'm going to have to, this is not doing its thing. There we go. Was that me or you, Jody? That was me? Cool. Alrighty. I started to share just a little bit about this idea of pioneer again. And I shared a story of Shackleton. Shackleton was an explorer, a pioneer. And he made this quote. He said, "The unknown fields in the world, which are still unconquered, are narrowing. But there still remains this great work." And I kind of feel that's what it's like for us here at Good Life. You know, why do we pioneer again? Because there still remains this good work. This good work that we're called to. This good work that God wants to establish in our community and in our lives. And I think that's worthy of pioneering again in that. You'll always also remember this one we talked about a little bit. It's just, it's a bit of a cycle of the kingdom of God, but it's also, I think, a really good cycle of life, where it talks about endings, transitions, and new beginnings. And we're in a transition. We're in a transition in a number of ways. We're in a transition of leadership, but I think we're actually also in a transition as a church and society because of the things that we've walked through. And so I just want to encourage you as we navigate this. You know, transition seasons can be a tough season to navigate. They aren't always easy. But they're also very exciting because they're the gateway to new beginnings. New beginnings of all that God wants to do in our lives. One of the foundational verses for Good Life was Isaiah 43. And it says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And see, I'm doing a new thing. And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This particular scripture, I guess, it's in the DNA of who Good Life is. It's part of who we are. And I believe that God wants to do a new thing. He still wants to do a new thing. We had this sense, it's probably going back 12, even 18 months ago, around this idea that God is wanting to do a new thing in our midst. You know, this gathering today, it's not a result of, old leader's gone, better put in the new thing. We actually started talking about this 12 or 18 months ago, that we sensed that God was calling us to a new thing, to maybe look at how we do things a little bit differently, to reimagine what this place and our influence and our impact could be. But let's go back a little bit further. In the very early foundational days of Good Life, Doug and Marty, who pioneered this church, they formed an organization called the Southern Cross Institute, and they had these five stars of the Southern Cross. You can see them up there on the screen: church planting, media, revival, teaching, and evangelism. That is the DNA of Good Life. We were birthed out of that. It's in our blood. It's who we are. And some of those things have come to fruition. Some of them are still a work in progress. But I believe they give a good indication of that heartbeat of who we are and some of the things we could look at moving forward as well. You see, I believe that the gift of our past matters most when we're creating a vision and purpose for the future. The gift of our past matters most when we start dreaming and planning and thinking of where God would have us go. This is our DNA. One of the very early sayings that Doug used to hold on to is, or used to say, we used to say it time and time again, that Good Life is a church for the unchurched. And I still believe that remains today. That God wants to create a place where people can come, where they can come and be loved into an authentic community of Christ followers. A church for the unchurched. And at the very core of even why the reason Southern Cross Institute, that was formed, was to reach Australia for Jesus Christ, to see our nation come to the knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. So why? Why do we pioneer again? Because I believe church has changed. I believe the world has changed. You only have to look at these last 12 months to see how much the world has changed, and church has changed in that as well. But here's something that hasn't changed, and that's that Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of you and me. And that message needs to be proclaimed. That message needs to be declared to all, for all to hear. That has not changed. And I believe as a church, we need to start to think and reimagine and pioneer again into areas where what's it look like to declare that hope, to be bearers of that hope in the places that we serve. So today, we're going to put some stakes in the ground around some key areas that we feel we need to focus on. But I need to make it really clear. I'm not presenting the Ten Commandments today. This is not something that is inscribed on stone and will live forever, ever and a day. We're creating a blueprint, a bit of a plan. You know, I've built things before. No, I haven't. I'm a hopeless builder. I've had people who've built stuff before, and I've seen plans, right? And often there's so many different plans. There's version 1 and 1A and B and 2 and 2 and 2C and 3. There's so many versions before you get to the final plan of what it looks like. So today is not about the Ten Commandments. It's about a blueprint. It's about a plan that we can start exploring and looking forward to together. Kerry Newhoff is a speaker in the United States. I've been looking at a bit of his stuff lately, and he made this statement. He says, "The unchurched aren't looking for an echo of the culture. They're looking for an alternative." And I believe we have that. I believe we have an alternative that is good, that can transform lives. And that's why we pioneer again. As a kid, I was very fortunate to be able to grow up skiing. We don't obviously have too many ski slopes here. That's me and my brothers in the early days. Our very first trip to the snow, I remember it so clearly. We drove, I think you get up at like 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. in the morning. We all piled into the back of the Pajero, put a mattress in the back. In those days, you just slept in the back, no seatbelts, all that kind of stuff. And we drive 18 hours down to Jindabyne and to the snow. I remember driving on that road into maybe it was even Cooma or something, and we saw our first snow. It was about 1 meter square patch of snow. And gee, it was amazing. We might have even got out of the car to touch it and make a snowball and throw it at each other. I'm so grateful that I've got to see so much more snow than that. And it is an incredible place. Our very first trip, and I think my brother on the left there, Craig, may actually be sporting them. My mum made us ski pants out of rubber back curtains. I'm also glad things have changed and God is about new things. Why do I say this? Because I think ski fields and the ski community is a great illustration of how I can imagine this place functioning. I don't know if you ever skied before, but this is a ski map. And when you arrive at a ski resort, they give you a map, or there's maps posted around the place where you can have a look and see where you want to go on the mountain. You've got the red lines that are going up there. They're chairlifts. So that's how you get to the top of the mountain. And then you've got all these different runs that make their way down. The other thing about ski resorts is that there's all the infrastructure there to help people to have an amazing day. There's ski schools there for people who may not know how to ski and want to try it for the very first time. There's ski patrols that those who might get themselves into trouble need if you hurt yourself or get injured. There's warming huts for when it gets really cold, if you need to settle in and, you know, warm up for a little bit and grab the hot chocolate or something a little bit stronger if it's been a big day. There's mountain guides everywhere that just direct you if you happen to get lost. There's signposts, there's directions. Everything is in place for people to go there to have an amazing day in a safe environment and for them to explore and do something that they love. And for those who, you know, these, if you're not familiar with these three symbols here, each of them represent what a different ski run may look like. You go from a green run, which is really easy for beginners, to a blue, which is your kind of intermediate, to your diamond, which is your expert terrain. Or, you know, if it really steps up, as you can see at the very top of that mountain, is your double diamond runs for those who really know what they're doing. A mountain is there for all to enjoy. Just like this place here at Good Life. There are going to be people at different levels of life going through different things. And I imagine a place where we can continue to provide an environment for people to come and meet them where they're at. And some of those people are going to be in green runs. Some will be a blue, some will be diamond, double diamond, wherever you may find yourself. But we are creating a place that is safe, a place to teach and to grow, a cafe that can, you know, people can just sit and connect and get to know one another. And if those that really want to, they can go all the way to the top and do some of those more, you know, hit out the gym or whatever it might be. I love the mountain. I love skiing. There's something about going to the top of a mountain and looking out there and seeing the vastness of all that God has created. But what I also love is coming down. Coming down whichever way I choose. On a mountain like that, there's so many different types of terrain. And some days you can just cruise down and take it easy, but other days you try something, you know, a little more extreme. And my hope is that in this place, we create an environment where people thrive, where people get to choose how they come down the mountain. Our job is to get them to the top of the mountain so they can enjoy the life that God's called them to live and operate in the giftings and the skill sets and the abilities that they have. And then maybe one day, you might get to go to that very top and ski that double diamond and fulfill all that God's called you to do. Now, I know there's probably some of you sitting in there now going, actually, the last place in the world I want to be is on a ski field, right? But that's okay. Because what a community needs is people who cheer others on, set up the environment for others to thrive, to come alongside, to train, to equip, whatever it might look like. Now, this is just one example or analogy of how I can see this place of Good Life operating. 10 years ago this year, I had the most amazing experience of my life. Well, one of. Find my wife and my kids. They're forgiven. I got to go heli skiing. I didn't have any chairlifts. I didn't have any mountain guides. Didn't have any warming huts. Didn't have any of the things that you find in a safe environment. But it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. What does it look like for us to create an environment which gets people to the point where they go on and soar? They get on and do things that we would never imagine, where we create leaders and people and committed followers of Jesus Christ in this place, and we champion them and cheer them on to go about the things that God's called them, far beyond any mountain chairlift, far beyond any resort, out into the wild frontiers, wherever God may have them and have called them to be, excuse me, to be. And we all have a role in that. A pioneer doesn't necessarily know what lies ahead. And as I said today, we're going to put some stakes in the ground. We've got a sense as a leadership of some of the things that God is calling us to. But we don't know necessarily what's down the road. If someone's pioneering new land, they walk and their horse and buggy, whatever they do back in those days. They come around a mountain. They can find a river or a creek or a canyon or some obstacle or something they have to navigate and have to rethink what it looks like moving forward. That doesn't stop us from dreaming and planning and imagining what God has for us down the track. But we put the stakes in the ground. But from there, it's a journey we embark on together. We start to explore what God is calling us to and where we may be going. Because I'm convinced that new things, it's what Jesus does. New things, it's what Jesus does. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He turned water into wine. He fed the 5,000. Jesus is about new things. He's about new things in your life. He's about new things in my life. He's about new things in this community. Does that disregard everything we're doing and have done in the past? Not at all. We take those things we're doing and we look at them, and if they still fit and achieve the vision and purpose of what we're doing, then we refine them. We get better at them. We hone them. We don't throw everything out. But I do believe that the world has changed and church has changed, and so we need to look at things differently, because new things, it's what Jesus does. So I want to just share a couple of six areas where we have a sense that God is calling us to apply some real focus as we move forward. And at the heart of that is transformation. To see the transforming work of Jesus Christ in our midst and in our community. To see that transforming work of Jesus Christ in my life. And you know, if you walk away with nothing else today, I hope you can walk out this place and go, Jesus, what is that transforming work you want to do in my life? What do you want to do in me to make me more like you? To be about the plans and the purposes you have in my life. But when it's all said and done, it's not just about me. It's about us. It's about the community we serve. What does it look like for that transforming work of Jesus Christ to be declared in this place here in Good Life, 100 Budgeron Pines Drive? What does it look like for that transforming work of Jesus Christ to start to impact our community, our nation, or the nations of the world? That is at the heart of why we exist. Our DNA, it was a revival. What does it look like for a revival, for an awakening, for a renewal to start to take place here, in this place, in this heart? At the heart of it is transformation. Family, what does it look like for us to focus on family, to make family the core of this place? Because I believe that when we focus on family and make family a priority, it affects our whole community. As a parent, I want nothing more than my kids to grow up in a Christ-centered, faith-filled community of people that will cheer them on and help them become all that they want to be. What does that look like for us with our kids and our youth and our young people? To champion them and see them go on and do the things that God has called them to and equip them for in their lives. I can see us having this vision, a pathway, where from the moment a young child goes up to little angels, all the way through their life journey from kids' church to youth to young adults to be fully functioning adults in a community, what about us as a community of faith championing that? From the very early days all the way through. We need to start, you almost got to start right back there so that we look forward into the years to come. So in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we have incredible, amazing, committed followers of Jesus who influence our communities and the world. What does it look like to champion parents, to equip them and to grow them in this, I guess in that gift of growing kids? And raising kids. Grandparents. We all have a role to play in that when we focus on family. People development. Again, creating pathways where we actually are intentional around developing our people. What's it look like to be intentional about discipleship? To make discipleship a key priority of what we do as a community of faith, where we have disciples raising disciples that can walk out of this place, declaring the good news of Jesus to all, equipping one another, encouraging one another. And I believe there needs to be an absolute intentional focus on the development of our young people, in raising up our youth. And I don't want it to sound cliche or anything like that, and it's kind of the thing we all say, but they literally are the next generation of leaders. And if we aren't intentional about that and equipping them, we're going to have a massive void. And that's why I talked earlier, from as soon as they, our young toddlers go into the creche even, how are we intentional around encouraging, equipping, and empowering and releasing them into all that God has for them to be? You see, gatherings are important. It's important that we gather together. But I also believe that development is so vital. And that may not happen on a Sunday. It can happen in so many different contexts of what we're doing. The fourth one is justice and mercy. The church has never been just about me and us. What does it look like to focus outward? I love the scripture. It's one of my life scriptures. And it's Micah 6:8. And it comes off the back of where these questions are being asked around, you know, what can I sacrifice? What can I give? You know, Lord, do you want 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of olive oil? What is the sacrifice that you want me to bring? And his reply is this. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. What does it look like for us, the Good Life community, to make justice and mercy a core tenet of who we are, a foundation of who we are? To be so equipped with both resource and time and energy to be deployed when the need happens, to champion the global partners that are serving around the world, but also locally. We have the expression through Lifehouse, but there's so much more than that. That when need arises, we are the first ones to step into that gap and meet a need. When there is hurt and brokenness, we are the first ones to step in because we are committed to mercy and justice. Gatherings, and this is one we have talked about a little bit. It's one we talked about back when we met at Kiwanis. I'm convinced the time has come for the lay church to rise up. And not just the professional church. I think sometimes we've left church to the professionals. That's a pastor's job. That's a paid person's job. We are the church. The proclamation of Jesus in this country, in our community, it's our responsibility. Who was it that built the Titanic? It was the professionals, right? It's the lay ones that built the ark. It's up to us. It's up to the lay church to rise up. It's not just the domain of the professionals or the paid guys. If we want to see true influence, it's going to take each and every one of us in this place and outside of this, in the center as well, to put our hands, shoulder to the wheel. To see that transformation take place. But when we talk to gatherings, I believe the impact of Good Life Community Budrum is finite. We only have a certain amount of reach that we can do, an impact we can have. But what does it look like to start being intentional around planning gatherings in new territories, in new places, in new homes, in new expressions? Now, you watch that video today. Wouldn't every community even on the Sunshine Coast or Queensland love a place like Good Life? Now, it may not be that grand. It may be just communities of faith popping up in new regions and new places where they start to influence their community and different expressions. I'm very aware that the model that God has used to get us to this point right now may not be the model he chooses to use moving forward. I believe there's something in it and I believe it's good, but we've got to be open to think differently, to reimagine what God is calling us to. I want to encourage us to start to be bold. We try new things. We experiment. We dare. We do things maybe a little bit differently. And again, I reinforce this. We don't just kill everything that we're doing and has been up until now. But I do believe if we want to impact our culture and our communities and our society, we need to think differently. You take all of those things, you take those four things and the transformation, and what it does is it builds this functioning community, a community of people who are sold out for the ways of Jesus Christ, that want to see his kingdom come and his will be done, a community that loves one another, that is committed to caring for one another, that is committed to the growth and development and the well-being of one another, not just so that we can feather our own nest, but so that we can go out and share this good news and hope of Jesus Christ to all who need to hear it. I love what Tim shared, and he walked us through in, again, I think it was in November when we got together. And he walked through, it was basically a study that was done by Harvard Business Review. And we had, as a leadership team, took a whole lot of time to look at that and work it through. And I'm not going to go into great detail on that. You can look it up online and watch Tim's message on it, where he talked a little bit more detail about it. But just really quickly, when we're talking about community, I believe there's something in the findings of this study that we can apply here. It had seven things. The first one, community is about valuing and fostering deep relationships. It's about personal transformation. It's about social transformation. It can't stop just with what we do here. It has to go out. It has to leach out. It has to influence our communities. It's about accountability to the core values, but also the vision we have as a community. It's about purpose finding. How do we create an environment where each person who comes in this place can start to find purpose and belonging and know why they're put on this earth and what that extension, what the outworking of that looks like? It's a place for creativity, allowing space and time and place for people to be creative and allow their gifts and their abilities to come to the fore. And then there was this seventh one. The seventh one, which they found it hard to articulate, so they called it the something more. If I had a dollar for every time I walk into this place and have a conversation with someone and they say, there is just something about this place. There is just something about this place when I come in here that makes me want to be here, want to hang out, want to connect, want to serve, want to be a part of it. That's the something more. I believe that we have already formed this amazing community. But what's it look like to continue to walk in that, to all that God's called us to, and even see other communities pop up around the place? So where to from here? I'm going to invite you to pray. That is something all of us can do. We pray. We pray that God's kingdom would come and that his will would be done. Pray for us as a leadership team as we navigate this a little bit more and explore what the future might look like. Pray for us as we're even in a transition of leadership and finding the team that God wants to bring together for the days ahead. But also pray and ask God what your role in this community is. What does God have for you in this place? And how you can be a part of it moving forward, and what you can bring to it to make it richer and better. And it's going to take courageous faith. All new things do. All new things do. And I read this and I think about it, and there's certain things where I start to think and I think, oh, wow, that's a bit scary. If it's not scary, maybe it's not big enough. If it's not scary, maybe I could accomplish it in my own right. But I want to start to imagine things that if God isn't a part of it, then it's probably not going to happen. Because this place here is just one expression of God's kingdom work on this earth. And there is a whole bunch of other people doing amazing things as well. But if God has called us to this place, is he calling us to pioneer again in new places, in new territories? And that's going to take courageous faith. And here's the one thing I want you to do when you leave this place and commit to, is just take the next step. Just take the next step. Just take the next step. Go home from this place and have a think, okay, God, what is that next step you want me to take? We don't have to have all the answers here and now. And in some ways, I'm just, again, just putting some stakes in the ground. I haven't declared that we're building Life House or we're building an orphanage in Tanzania or whatever it might be. They're the next steps. And after we've taken 10 steps and 20 steps and 1,000 steps, then I'm trusting and believing that God would reveal what those big things are. We don't have to have it all worked out right now, but we do need to take that next step. The Good Life community. It was God-breathed, and it still is. But unless the Father goes with us, unless the Holy Spirit comes and breathes into this, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I see a place where people are released and empowered to go about doing what they do. I see a place where we start getting using technology and applications and platforms that enable us to go about the call of God and all things that He's called us to. I see a place where it is filled with a people who know what it means to be, you know, worshipers in the truest sense of the form, truest sense of that word, where it's not just a song we sing, but it's a lifestyle that we live. But I also see that there are things that take place here that are not just for us. There are songs that are written that need to be declared to the nations. There are messages that are spoken that need to go out, and that's going to require us to start to think a little bit differently to how we've done things in the past. And using the means, whatever they may be, to get that message of hope out. Been thinking on this scripture quite a bit of late. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 16. It says, be on your guard. Sorry, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love. Whatever we do, it needs to be done in love. Love for Jesus, but love for the people that walk through those doors. Love for our neighbors who we live alongside. Love for those that we work with. I look out here and see a sea of faces. It's just a representation of the Good Life community. And I have hope that good news of Jesus Christ can go out from this place and influence our community, our nation, and the nations of the world. That one day we would see revival, we would see an awakening, and at the heart of it, there would be this transforming work of Jesus Christ take place in our communities. Because new things is what Jesus does. Because new things is what Jesus does. I'm going to ask you to stand with us. My hope is this is just giving you a bit of a glimpse of, again, some of the things we are sensing. Some of the things we are sensing in the days ahead. And there is so much work to do. There are so many more things to start to think and to process. But if we commit together just to take that next step, take that next step into what God is asking of us, to be obedient, to have faith, and to have the courage to do that, I'm absolutely confident that the good work that is still to be done will be accomplished.